Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the Come Across podcast. I'm Raul Pop, and in each edition I'll present you with brief synopses of news or products I've stumbled on. Those same articles or product info will be collected and available for you to download from my podcast website, www.comeacross.info. Okay, let's get started. First up, two explainers. I wanted to clarify my stance and some comments I made in the last episode. Those of you who listened to it might have had some reaction or another to the segment regarding the Ferrari steering wheel and the Pope, so let me offer a clarification. Any church which finds itself in a position to control the direction of a country or of a culture, economically and politically, will cease to be a church. It will start to abuse its powers, and very soon dissidents from the quote-unquote party line will be discouraged by any means possible. Heed the adage I quoted last week because it's been proven true throughout history. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I wasn't just referring to what the Catholic Church did during the Dark Ages. Look at what the Anglican Church did with the Puritans. Look at what the Russian and Greek Orthodox churches did in Russia and Romania when the communists came to power. They worked hand in hand with them to control the people. Look at the Taliban in the Middle East or other countries where the religious side holds the reins. Look at the Mayan civilization where religious worship was so closely tied to daily life and its leadership. Look at the various cults that spring up here and there from time to time. Virtually everywhere you look in the world and throughout history, religious control of a country or a group of people or a culture equals persecution. If you toe the party line, sure, you're just fine, but may God help you if your conscience starts bothering you and you feel that you have to stray off the beaten path. I fear these sorts of situations, and that's why I don't want anyone church in control, especially not in control of Christianity or a country or even a single city, particularly not when it's had a history of bloody violence when dealing with dissidents. At any rate, I'm amazed that I didn't get any feedback about last week's episode. I expected to get at least some emails about these comments, and I got nothing. I know plenty of you downloaded the podcast. Were none of you offended? I was hoping for a little dialogue. Okay, enough of that. I've been thinking of switching from the PDF format to simple links for most articles, if not all. It's just that many sites have all sorts of restrictions on how articles can be reproduced and distributed, and even though I try to preserve the ads and convert the pages to PDFs in their entirety whenever possible, I don't want to get involved in some copyright dispute that would eat up my time or even worse, cause me to stop producing my podcast. So, as of this episode, I will provide you with links instead of PDFs, except in those situations where I don't think it'd be a problem. I know it's probably more of a hassle, especially for those of you who will download episodes weeks or months after they're published, and the links might have expired, as is the case on some sites. But it's better to be safe than sorry. I prefer to store the articles I like in PDF format, and I send them to my family and close friends that way, but I recognize that it might not be the right way to do it for public consumption. If any of you out there are more knowledgeable about this, please, by all means, send me an email. I'd love to know what you think. Perhaps it is okay to provide PDFs, but until I hear otherwise, links it is. Now, on to the articles. In Turkey, an author is on trial for speaking the truth. Orhan Pamuk was put on trial by the state for declaring that 30,000 Kurds and 1 million Ottoman Armenians were killed there, and no one dares talk about it. Apparently, it's a crime to offend the state by speaking about it. Of course, journalists are in an outrage, and so are other authors and publishers, but the trial is set to go on. The name of the article is Author's Trial Set to Test Turkey by Sarah Rainsford of BBC News, Istanbul. I suppose it would anger the Turkish state even more if I, as a Romanian, would declare another truth, which is that the Ottoman Empire raped and pillaged Romania and trafficked in human flesh for centuries. Since we were the main entrance point into Europe, the Turks always tried to invade and control us. It was a constant battle. Countless of our girls and women were carried off to their harems and they thought nothing of stealing and killing left and right every time they came into our country. But hey, it's only history, right? Stranger Inherits Norwegian Farm is the name of an article from BBC News, no author listed. Apparently a farmer in the city of Hedalen, southern Norway, had no relatives, so he chose to leave his farm to the winner of a lottery. Interested people could apply to be eligible for the drawing. One woman did just that, without telling her husband, and now she's got the farm and doesn't know what to do with it. Larry O'Hanlon from Discovery News writes that ozone-destroying chemicals are still seeping into the atmosphere from the US and Canada at alarming rates, and they are projected to slow down the recovery of the ozone holes by up to 15 years. Current projections estimate the hole to recover by 2050, and this latest snag will delay the process until at least 2065. The name of the article is Ozone Recovery Slower Than Expected. Have you been enjoying the low rates and lack of taxes offered by the voice over IP providers like Vonage? Well, that's about to change. The FCC is thinking seriously about mandating the collection of USF or Universal Service Fund taxes from voice over IP companies like Skype or Vonage. Apparently, the money from the fund is used to subsidize communications costs in rural and other high-cost areas such as libraries or schools. Of course, the fund was beset with fraud in the 7 years since its inception, so no one knows how much of that money went to helping people and how much went into the pockets of the Washington lobbying fat cats. At any rate, you can expect the USF charges to be tacked onto your voice over IP bill at some point in the near future. The article is called FCC Chief Backs Net Phone Taxes by Ann Broach, CNetNews.com. Honda expects to lease its Asimo robot to companies who want a new part-time employee that performs common office chores like greeting people and leading them to conference rooms. The second-generation Asimo can now push a cart, walk straight, sideways or backwards, and can also grip and carry a tray of drinks. See Honda's robot, ready for office chores, by Reuters, no author listed. This next bit of news demonstrates that there are plenty of clueless people in France, not just in the United States. A few weeks ago, I read about an elderly driver who ran over someone here in the States, killed him, and drove for 6 more miles until stopped by police, oblivious to the body of the victim stuck halfway through the windshield. Now we've got a Frenchman, 66 years old, who drove in the wrong direction on the highway for 11 miles, crashing into 5 vehicles, killing one person and injuring 2 others, including children. He and his wife were unhurt but in shock. Shock is what I too experienced when reading this. See man goes wrong way on highway for 11 miles from Reuters, no author listed. Thousands of US airline passengers found themselves stranded in August when computers at DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, crashed. Apparently the computers are outdated, systems are in transition, and this is just business as usual for the DHS, according to an article entitled Aging Computers Hobble Homeland Security by Ann Broach and Declan McCullough of CNetNews.com. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. Apparently the USCIS, U.S. Immigration and Citizenship Service, still relies on paper forms. You may send them a form typed on a computer, and you may even be able to send them forms electronically through their website, but the information on these forms still has to be manually typed into one of their systems and retyped into 2 or 3 more systems. None of these systems can talk to each other and cannot be modified because it's extremely expensive to do so. What does this mean for you? Well, there's a 1 million case backlog at the USCIS. You can expect that to remain the same until systems are overhauled, which will require lots of money, of course. Will user errors occur as staff type in the same data several times? Yes, but you don't have to read the article to know that. If you've recently immigrated to the States, you may be painfully aware of that already. Just take me, for example. Having come to the States in the early 90s with my parents, we thought our files were getting processed just fine, only to be surprised with the news that they were lost after 2 years of waiting. We filed again only to have them declared lost once more. They were found after we appealed to our congressman, only to have my file merged with my father's file later on. As far as the INS was concerned, he didn't exist anymore until we went through an appeal process. Oh, and what about the computer crashes that will have you waiting in airports for hours? Expect that too, all courtesy of the DHS and UCIS. Enjoy. Scientists in the UK have stumbled upon a food additive that reduces methane emissions. Apparently, this is a real problem. Around 14% of global methane comes from the guts of farm animals. In New Zealand, where more than half of the country's greenhouse gases are emitted by the less appealing ends of such farm animals as cows, sheep, pigs, etc., the government proposed a flatulence tax in 2003. It was ultimately cancelled after widespread protests. Thanks to the British, it looks like Dolly will finally have her beano, and farmers everywhere will breathe easier. See if food additive could reduce methane emissions dramatically, by Reuters, no author listed. Have you ever wanted to throw a camera at someone? Well, now you can. See, a wireless camera can be hurled into danger from the Associated Press, and no author listed. Apparently, an Israeli company called ODF Optronics Limited stuck a wireless camera inside a rugged rubber casing, along with a rechargeable battery. There's real demand for these within police forces, who can now investigate dangerous locations from as far as 200 yards away. They simply throw the camera, wait for it to stabilize and transmit video, and then decide on the battle plan. This next article is really interesting. It's called Unlikely Trendsetter Made Earphones a Way of Life by Larry Roeder of the New York Times. Read it to find out the story of Andreas Pavel, the real inventor of the Walkman, and his battle with Sony, which lasted from 1980 until 2003. Yes, that's 23 years. It's very interesting to see how disgusting Sony's business practices really are. And for that matter, probably most other large companies. Read it and ask yourself if Sony deserves your money. After reading the article, I made a decision to stop purchasing Sony products whenever possible. Alright, that's it. I kept my promise, this podcast is shorter. Thanks for listening. I'm Raoul Pop, signing off until next week.